Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Zinc Media Arts, the fastest 3 hours on internet talk radio is right here on this program, and I am your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from the Bunker Eye Studio. By the way, it is Friday.
Welcome to Freedom Friday.
Yes, indeed, it is Friday, August number 17 in the year of our Lord, 2018. As we continue on, we slide on into the weekend. Trying to enjoy more of our freedoms that were once taken away. They're being restored to us. And, of course, you've got the left out there having a fit and trying to take your freedom away from you. You know what? And some of them really don't even understand what it is. They don't even understand the words. There's a new term out there. There's a new term, and I saw it for the first time yesterday. I was hit with it. And I gotta tell you, I wasn't taken aback, but I was temporarily confused because I'm thinking, wait. You've got this person like Ocasio-Cortez that says she's a democratic socialist. Thinking, okay, I understand that. But I got hit with the term. The reason why they don't like Trump is because he's a Republican socialist. Now, I wasn't the only one confused by that. There were people that were asking him directly on Twitter, what the hell is a Republican socialist? Trump! I thought he was a fascist. Well, he is. So socialist and fascist are the same thing? No. Well, how can you be two things? The antithesis of socialist would be a conservative. That's what Republicans generally are. Still can't get a full explanation about what a Republican socialist, because they don't know either. They probably heard it somewhere or thought that they heard it from some news outlet, and they're running with it. That's why I say words actually mean stuff. And you put those two words together, they're diametrically opposed to one another. It just doesn't make any sense. So Trump is now is not only a fascist, he's a Republican socialist. And they don't like socialists, except unless if you're a Democratic socialist like Ocasio-Cortez. I'm a little... If you're confused by it, me too. So don't feel bad. If I wasn't confused, I'd be able to fully explain it to you. And then you would no longer be confused. But I'm still confused because I can't get a legitimate explanation of what this word or term is. Simply because they don't know. And this is a problem with the left. Maybe I'm being generous, but 90% of the crap that comes out of a leftist mouth, they have no clue what they're talking about. None. Zip. You try to get them to explain, and I'm sure many of you have tried. They can't explain Jack. And I'm not talking about Jack Dorsey. They can't explain Jack because they don't know. They're just repeating some garbage that they heard somebody who they think is smart. They heard them say it. So, yeah, that's right. I like this person. I agree with him. You know, he's a leftist news person. Yeah, great. So this must be it. So he must have heard somebody say Trump's a Republican socialist, or somebody's a Republican socialist, and he said, "That there you go, Republican socialist." Do you know what it means? Well, it's Trump. Well, Trump is not the definition. Sorry. In any case, welcome back, folks. Got some news here on the Space Force. Now, folks, when it comes to Trump talking about the space, he didn't just pull this out of his ass, you know, and decide to come up with this. Now, understand, because we have people that are in our military and in Congress that are stupid, it's going to take longer for this type of a military department or branch, if you will, to get up and running fully. Now, understand, back in the day when it was suggested that they split the Army and the Air Force into separate branches of the military, there were people that laughed. There were people that resisted. It was the best decision at that up until that time that was ever made in our military. It was a grand decision because they thought, well, no, we don't separate the Marines and the Navy. Well, that is true. The Marines are still basically a division of the Navy. But the Navy really doesn't do what the Marines do. The Marines are specialized. They don't fight on water, basically. The Navy fights on the water. The Marines are the Navy's army, basically. They fight on land, generally. Now, the Army, on the other hand, the Army still has its minimal air force. They still have a few, you know, the Army has a few jet fighters, and they have helicopters. Now, the Air Force doesn't really have a hell of a lot of combat helicopters. That's the Army. They take to the skies and take care of the missiles and all that kind of stuff. That's the Air Force. Anything that has to do with the if it's going to go up in the atmosphere in the air, that's going to be the purveyance of the Air Force. Attack helicopters really don't do dogfighting. You can call them an elevated platform for fighting on the ground, because that's what attack copters are geared for. They're geared towards fighting on the ground. So that makes sense to have, you know, the vast majority of helicopters, attack helicopters, being a part of the Army. But it was the best thing that they could have done up until that time, is to split the Army and the Air Force because, you know, they can concentrate in two separate areas. Again, the Air Force doesn't have, you know, any ground force to speak of, really. It's the Army. And the Army has its specialized division, right? You know, they got Green Berets, their special units. Again, on the ground, though. So what do we need now that we are the technology advancing beyond the purveyance of the Air Force? Well, it's outer space. Now, remember, folks, and you got people like, Space Force, huh? Remember, we got the same people, the same kind of people, and in many cases, the same people who are laughing at Trump's idea of a Space Force, who laughed at Ronald Reagan for his Star Wars program. You even had people in Congress, and I do believe, if I'm not mistaken, I do believe John McCain was one of those naysayers that said that we'd never get this stuff to work. Not only did we get it to work, but much like John F. Kennedy's decision to go to the moon before the end before 1970 rang in, we got, and they said, no, it can't be done, man. We're going to try, but we don't think we can do it. And in 1969, we put men on the moon. In the early 80s, Reagan introduced a plan for Star Wars programs. You know, satellites and things that could, you know, missiles that could track and do and hit other, and all that kind of, yeah, it can't be done, man. And then Desert Storm came along. Desert Shield and Desert Storm. and we started taking missiles out of the air. Now, granted, they were mostly Scud missiles from Iraq at the time. They were not, you know, highly advanced types of things, but it had never been done before. And it was so successful that even it took, you know, BAE, who was, I think it was Lockheed at the time, it took them by surprise at how well the system worked. And people stopped laughing. And since then, we've improved the system so much, and we've given them names like, you know, Freedom Dome and Iron Dome and those types of things. And they've repeated their viability and their worth time and time and time again since the Patriot missiles of Desert Storm. You know, back in 91, 92. So Trump says the same thing that, you know, something similar. We need a space force. There's nothing happening in space. Folks, we're trying to weaponize space. Anybody ever heard of the Rod of God? Well, it's a satellite-based system of non-explosive but highly lethal armament. These things literally have little to no propulsion system. All they do is you put them up in there, and they use things. They use metal like tungsten. Because one, it can you know, they got to use a metal that can withstand the reentry into space or to the Earth's atmosphere. But when they hit the ground, they hit with such speed and force that it's equivalent to a small limited nuclear device. They're just devastating. This is this is what's behind the theory of the rail gun. It's a non-explosive armament, but when so in other words, it can't explode unless it's fired properly and hits its target. But it doesn't use gunpowder. So they're cheaper. They're easy. Can you imagine having a Navy ship full of this stuff with no explosives on it? So if an enemy shell were to penetrate the armament stores of the ship, it won't explode. I mean, the shell that hits him will explode, but the armaments won't explode. As a matter of fact, the armaments, unless they're directly destroyed by that particular enemy shell, can be used still, if the ship is still able to fight. So this is a new type of weapon, and we're looking at trying to do that in space. And frankly, Russia knows this, and so does China. And the problem is that even in futuristic technologies, a missile like that, one, is very difficult to detect. Two, they're coming from such a high, you know, high angle and moving at an extremely high rate of speed, which keeps increasing because of gravity. You know, the longer it travels, the faster it goes. And it becomes nearly impossible to shoot it down by any means. So this is what Russia and China, but especially Russia, Putin doesn't like. Can't blame him. You won't be able to detect it. The only thing that you can do to prevent it is take out the satellite that these things are on. But it's called the Rod of God. And but the U.S. is warning now on Russia's new space weapons. Now, supposedly we have all these international treaties that mean that space remains weaponless, right? Wrong. The United States voiced deep suspicion on Tuesday over Russia's pursuit of a new space weapons, various new space weapons, including mobile laser systems to destroy satellites in space, and the launch of a new Inspector satellite, which was acting in an abnormal way. I don't know what abnormal is. They didn't specify. But Russia's pursuit of counter-space capabilities was disturbing. said Yalim Diaz Poblet, P-O-B-L-E-T-E, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Arms Control, Verification, and Compliance. I never even heard of that department before. Anyway, he told the UN's Conference on Disarmament, which is discussing a new treaty to prevent an arms race in outer space, you're not going to prevent it. It's a natural progression. It is humanity's natural progression. The more we go into space, the more it is going to be found to be necessary to defend whatever you put up there. Understand that. And that is why you need a separate branch of the military that is dedicated and focused on outer space, much like the U.S. Air Force is dedicated to our airspace. So, and actually part of this this process actually is, because it's not, it's according to what I've seen and read so far about this potential new branch of the military, it's not going to be headed by the Navy. And I know that upsets a lot of people who, you know, because, you know, you look at Star Trek uses Navy, naval command structure. But it ain't gonna be it's not going to be the Navy that's in control or in command or the structure that is mimicked in space. It's going to be Air Force. For obvious reasons. And I know that, you know, they would say, well, you know, the outer space is like being on the seas. They're ships. Well, they don't call them ships. They call them spacecraft. Who else does something similar to that? Oh, the Air Force, because they call them what? Aircraft. So that's the direction. But this whole notion, look, you know, we have people in this country that are laughing at Trump for this. Guess what? The UN isn't laughing. You know, one of the leftist favorite organizations is not laughing. In fact, they're working on another treaty now to try to prevent that from happening. They're not laughing, folks. So this is, you know, because Trump is very adamant. Look, you know, if we want to remain a free society and be dominant on this planet as far as freedom is concerned, being a beacon of freedom, we've got to have a presence in space and we've got to dominate that area as well. And by the way, for you freaks out there who think that there are hostile aliens coming our way, I think we better figure out a way to have some sort of space force that can meet them and greet them out there before they get in our atmosphere. I also find that kind of interesting. And no, I'm not being facetious at all. Rod, do you believe that there are hostile aliens? That's not my point. My point is that we have people here laughing at Donald Trump for a space force who do believe that there are aliens that visit this planet, and some of them may have nefarious means or ideas. Well, I would think it would be better if we meet them out in space and stop them there before we allow them into our atmosphere. If that's what you believe, how can you be against having a defense system capable of operating in outer space? You don't make any sense. You're being hypocritical. That's my point. Now, people can laugh all they want to, but I'm telling you, this stuff is serious as a heart attack. It is happening now, whether you like it or not. And Donald Trump has seen that we're not taking it seriously enough. Now, the rod of God is designed for a war on the planet. It's not designed for battles in space. And trust me, if you're going to put satellites up there that for communication and for spying and all that kind of stuff, if somebody can knock that out, They can blind you and deafen you. Wouldn't you want something up there to defend those for you? Abso-freaking-lutely. So the whole means of trying to keep space from becoming weaponized, it's already too late for that. It's a natural progression because it is necessary. And Trump sees that, and he does not want to be left behind. He doesn't want to play catch up. Because it takes a while to develop technology, the high end technology like this, it's got to be thought of, then it's got to be designed, then it's got to be tested, and it's got to be redesigned and retested. It takes time for that stuff. And if somebody else is already ahead of you on that, and you got a tough time trying to catch up. You know, there have been too many times in our modern history where we've had to play catch up, and it's a dogmatic type of process. It's terrible to be behind the eight ball. Well, lots of countries, you know, they live with it. Lots of countries are not the United States. No other country on the planet is the number one target for multiple enemies. Well, except for maybe Israel. But nobody else on the planet has to deal with what we deal with. Not even our closest allies. So, we've got, even some of our allies aren't really allies, they're frenemies. And they wouldn't mind if we were taken down a notch or two or totally eliminated either. Just saying. So the only other nation on the planet that probably fully understands what the United States goes through would be Israel. Because it just seems like just about everybody on the planet wants Israel not to exist. But we even got a bunch of people in this country that think that. Sad, but true. It is sad, but it is true. So Space Force looks like it is going to be, it's going to take a while to get it up and running, but it looks like it's going to be the case that we're going to need it. And those people who are laughing today, soon, at some point soon, I would say before 2030, are going to figure out that just like Ronald Reagan, Donald Trump was completely, totally right. And they're going to stop laughing. Because something's going to happen where Space Force is going to come into play and be successful, and they're going to say, glad they thought of it. They're not going to say, sorry, we laughed. I haven't heard John McCain, who used to be one of the Star Wars naysayers, I haven't heard him apologize to Reagan for it. And I don't think we ever will. So to the United States, the Russian President Vladimir Putin unveiled in March 6 new major offensive weapons systems, including the Perizvent military mobile laser system. Now, to the United States, this is yet further proof that Russian actions do not match their words for peace. Like, I love all this stuff that, you know, we come up with a new weapon system or want to deploy a new weapon system and, oh, we're warmongers, you know, we're doing this. Russia or China develops or deploys something new. Has the U.S. press or the Western press focused at all on China's new naval abilities? And look, there are people here still laughing at China's refurbishing of an old Soviet aircraft. And then we got a story. I'm surprised it even broke here in this country, but it was here for one day in a few outlets and then gone. China is currently building from scratch three new super carriers. And everybody's laughing at the one that they refurbished. That's not the point of that aircraft carrier. The point of their aircraft carrier was so that they could reverse engineer and build upon it. And that's exactly what they did and are doing. and nobody's reporting it. So by the year 2024, China is going to have four carriers, super carriers, floating in the South China Sea. Now you put that together with them building and making all those man-made military base islands out there. Yeah, you're not going to be laughing pretty soon. But you can't tell a stupid leftist that.
Warning. Listening to The Rod Eccles Show by the idiot left may cause outrage, fear, a need for safety pins and or spaces. If you experience any of these symptoms or are allergic to truth, tune in and learn something, Snowflake.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 800-595-2614 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 595-2614 to take your call now. Call 800-595-2614. That's 800-595-2614. Again, 800-595-2614.
We've all heard of male enhancement, but now there's an expert on true male enhancement in the areas that really count. In Herb Ellis's book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, you'll find answers to questions like, why doesn't she want to have sex? A quick start, quick results workout guide. Plus, what you can do as a side hustle to make money now. With all the great tips in this book, every man can benefit. Get the book, Husband 2.0, Real Male Enhancement, on Amazon.com.
It started with a knock, but it wouldn't end there. What happens in the story next, many wouldn't understand, and most wouldn't believe. 5+2=Perfection by Samuel Rosette Jr. is a must-read. The scriptures within are reminders of the ancient past, and yet intriguingly infuses with texts which stand on the edge of the stage of relevancy. Available online at Westbow Press, Amazon, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, and SamuelRosetteJr.com.
This holiday season, help Soldiers for Stockings improve the morale and welfare of members of our armed forces deployed overseas. Now through November 20th, there is so much work to be done, and you can help in many ways. Download the stocking pattern from stockingsforsoldiers.org and start sewing today. Volunteer to help decorate and assemble stockings. Donate Christmas candies, snacks, nuts, chips, drink mixes, DVDs, books, magazines, lip balm, toiletries, and other items needed to fill the stockings. Or help make packets of snowman soup, hot chocolate, to send along with the stockings. For more information, patterns, and a list of items needed, visit stockingsforsoldiers.org. This holiday season, help send our troops a touch of home. For many, it's all they will receive. All stockings need to be completed by November 20th. So get started today at stockingsforsoldiers.org. That's stockingsforsoldiers.org. Stockings for Soldiers, sending stockings filled with joy to our soldiers in harm's way for the 9th consecutive year.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-471-9742. That's 800-471-9742. Again, 800-471-9742.
Do you need a car? Been shopping only to be turned down because of bad credit? low credit, no credit, bankruptcy, or divorce? Guess what? Today's your lucky day, because now you can buy a car, truck, or SUV, just about any vehicle. It's true. Bad credit? Doesn't matter. No credit? Doesn't matter. Bankruptcy or divorce, it just doesn't matter. As a matter of fact, your job is your ticket to your new vehicle. We're Auto Credit Express, and we've helped thousands of people just like you. Antonio H. told us, great company, got me connected, and the day I went in, I drove off in the car I wanted. 100% worth your time. Need a car? Get started now and drive off as early as today. Just go to 7ignoremyscore.com right now. That's www.7ignoremyscore.com. Auto financing the easy way. 7ignoremyscore.com. Get started today. Auto financing the easy way.
Welcome back. Let's get right to it, shall we? Yes, we are now at that point in the program, of course, where I bring to you today's holidays. Yes, the holidays for August number 17 are thus. It is Baby Boomers Recognition Day. Of course, it was started by baby boomers to recognize a day for that is dedicated to baby boomers. Yeah, you know, the generation that was roughly that was born roughly between 1945 and 1964. Yeah, those people that really gave birth and rise to the millennials. Yeah, pretty much. So yeah, Generation X there, those people born between 65 and, depending on who you talk to, 79 or 80. Yeah, those are S Generation X, small generation. But yeah, obviously we have something to do with millennials too, but yeah, mostly it's baby boomers. In any case, it is Baby Boomers Recognition Day, so recognize your baby boomer. Or if you are a baby boomer, happy Baby Boomer Day, I guess. It's also Balloon Airmail Day. By the way, not all baby boomers are bad. Bad baby boomers? There are good ones and there are bad ones. Balloon Airmail Day is today. I guess it was supposed to, you know, they did use hot air balloons for a very short period of time, I do believe, in some countries or places to deliver, to get mail from one place to another. So I guess it gave rise to the term airmail. But it's Balloon Airmail Day. So get out there and, you know, hot air balloons look beautiful when they rise in the sky. And you got a whole bunch of them. It looks really cool. Ever go to Balloon Festival? Hot Air Balloon Festival? Yeah. I've never had the opportunity to actually take a balloon ride or flight, because they're just so damn expensive, man. Really are. It costs, you know, for one person, it could be a couple hundred. You're better off getting an airplane. But for people who do it, most of them say that they would do it again if they could afford to do it. National Black Cat Appreciation Day, also known as National Black Cat Day, is today. You would think it would be sometime in October, but no, it is this is the day to honor and remember black cats, you know, who've oftentimes been given bad names. And, of course, around Halloween time, you never let your black cat out of the house. No, as sad as that may be, that's true. But black cats tend to be very cool. They're beautiful animals, by the way. They really are. One of my favorite wild animals happens to be the black panther. Panthers, they're cool-looking animals. When they roar or growl, I guess they sound a lot like the gray mountain lions here in the States, which have many different names. Black panthers do too. They also have a couple of other names, but it is National Black Cat Appreciation Day, as well as it's National Number 2 Pencil Day. Number two pencil. Remember that? I always wonder what a number one pencil was. I guess artists use them. You know, people like to draw. They use a number one. It has to do with the hardness of the lead, which is usually made out of graphite today. It's not made out of lead. At one point, I guess it really was. There were contained lead. That's why they call it pencil lead. But it's really made out of graphite, a lot of it. And some of it's, I think they've been changing it. It's now some pencils, numbers are not made out of graphite and made out of some other compound. Okay. And, of course, there's a number of different types of pencils. Number three and number four I do also, again, use by artists. So those are harder leads when you get up. You know, three and number four are harder than a two. And a one is just really, really soft. It's just, mushy, which is why artists like them. But anyway, number two pencil day. It is also National I Love My Feet Day. Pretty self-explanatory. A lot of people don't like feet. They don't. Well, they are kind of funny looking. And some people have some pretty ugly feet. So it's Love Your Feet Day. Today is National I Love My Feet Day. It is also National Nonprofit Day. Again, pretty self-explanatory. Along with National Thrift Shop Day. It's dedicated to thrift shops and resale shops across the country. And you celebrate by going and shopping at a thrift store today. You know, from Goodwill to St. Paul to Salvation Army and Savers and you know, a plethora of others depending on where you are. Not to mention your independent for-profit thrift shops. There's a lot of those, too. Your secondhand stores, often, they're called. Not your antique store. An antique store is a thrift shop, so to speak, because it's hand-me-down stuff, obviously. But thrift shop finds are usually do not have a whole hell of a lot of value. It's just everyday stuff that's being resold. And a lot of these, especially if they're nonprofits, like Salvation Army, most of that stuff is donated. And then the proceeds go to a good cause. But be careful now. Some of them come across as being a nonprofit, like Goodwill's, but they're really not. I mean, they do good. I'm not saying that they don't. But I'm just saying you got to be careful with some of this. If you're going just to help nonprofits, be they religious or non-religious, you got to be careful because they're not all what they seem. It is also a very tasty day. Because it's National Vanilla Custard Day. Now, didn't we have a custard day not too long ago? I think we did. Memory serves me. Maybe it wasn't vanilla. It was just frozen custard. Yeah, that's what it was. It was frozen custard day. So any flavor counted then. But today, you have to have vanilla custard in order to celebrate. I guess it could be any type of custard. It could be frozen or non-frozen. I'm really not a fan of non-frozen custard, actually. But, you know, hey, if you like it, that's great. And As a lark, it is also National Meaning of Is Day. Yes, harking back to the presidency of Bill Clinton when he said, and I quote, "It all depends what the meaning of is. And thus was a National Meaning of Is Day was born. So Bill Clinton has given us a holiday for today to celebrate. It is also National Men's Grooming Day. Now you don't have to be a metrosexual, a so-called metrosexual, in order to appreciate good male grooming. And there are far too many millennials that don't. Millennial men, they have awful grooming habits. And there's nothing wrong with men taking pride in their appearance. Ladies really appreciate that, by the way. Now, even if you have a beard, you know, it should be kept neat and trimmed and tidy and look good on you. Not to be some ridiculously wild, scraggly looking. Because there are a lot of men, that especially young men, you know, in their late teens, early 20s, that try to grow beards and they shouldn't. Because they just can't fill them in. They just look. You know who looks awful in a beard? And he's not a millennial. It's Keanu Reeves. I mean, honestly, And Keanu, buddy, I'm sorry, but no, you got to let that go. You look awful. Hey, but he likes it, so. And it's not wild and scraggly either. It's well-trimmed. It's just because he is part Asian. His mom is Hawaiian, I think. He just doesn't fill in very well. Well, a lot of Asians don't. Whether they be Polynesian or Southeast or Northeast Asian, doesn't matter. They just don't, they can't, it's hard for them to grow in full beards. And Keanu's is one of those. It's really, really kind of raggedy. And not because he doesn't groom it, because it appears that he does, but it's just, he just can't fill it in. So it's National Grooming Day. If you don't know what looks best on you as far as your grooming habits, then there are you can go to lots of places to get some professional assistance, and they'll tell you. I know most of them are women, but hey, if you're trying to impress a woman, who better to ask than the woman? What looks good on you? You know, beard look good? Doesn't look good? Okay, mustache? No mustache? You know, long hair, short hair? By the way, American women, just for you, just so men know, generally speaking, they've done studies on this, or not studies, but polls. Most American women do not like man buns. They don't like them. If you have one, I'd get rid of it. You look foolish. Honestly. It was not too long. Back in May, I think there was a poll. Some over 80% women do not like man buns. So I don't know why you'd only want to restrict yourself to 20% of the female population if you're a straight man looking for a girl. Really limiting yourself. I'm just telling you now, if you have one, if I were you, I'd get rid of it. To me, to this day, still, I think the only men that are able to really pull off having a man bun are Icelandic men. Just because of their stature, their facial structure, their body size and height, they can not even Germans can pull it off. But for some reason, it just seems to be that Icelandic men can usually pull it off very well. It's very rare that any male can pull off a man bun. So I 99% of the time I see them, I'm like, I really just want to take a pair of shears and cut them off. Really. They really are that annoying. And evidently, many women also think that. So, National Men's Grooming Day today. Those are your holidays for today, August number 17. So, please, especially if you're going shopping or eating custard, celebrate responsibly. City urges, this is something new to fight global climate change. Folks, I have this story here. I am right here in my currently cigar nicotine stained fingers. There is a city that urges people to take a break from sex to fight heat wave. Bogota, Colombia. Health officials in this Colombian coastal city have a controversial recommendation for residents trying to stay cool during an intense heat wave. Don't have sex. I'm not kidding you. Fox New York has this story. Santa Marta City Health Secretary Julio Salas sparked a mix of laughter and disbelief early this week when he urged residents in the Caribbean tourist Mecca to refrain from sex during the day as part of a list of recommendations such as staying hydrated and wearing loose clothing to prevent overheating. Sex is considered only a moderate physical activity, as much of a strain on the heart as walking up to two flights of stairs, according to the American Heart Association. But temperatures in Santa Marta have soared past 40 degrees Celsius or 140 degrees Fahrenheit, and Salas's medical facilities in a city of 600,000 have been overwhelmed with patients complaining of symptoms of heat stroke, such as nausea and headaches. And he believes that having too much sex during the day is a big problem. So I wonder how long it's going to take before some leftist in this country decides to say, you know what? Having sex is bad for the environment. Because why? Because, you know, if you're going to be hot, you're going to turn on the air conditioner, right? So, but You know, honestly, I don't think leftists have to worry about too often too much to worry about having too much sex, because both male and female leftists, a lot of them are just like, yeesh, I wouldn't have sex with that thing. But it's about as bad as, you know, you go to some of these leftist women's marches, and some of these women that wear these T-shirts about anti-rape or anti-this or that, you know, sex, you wouldn't even touch him with a 10-foot pole. So they have no worry, really, about being approached by men to solicit unsavory things in their little ears. It just doesn't happen. Would not happen. And a lot of these little girly men, pajama boys, even a lot of leftist women don't want them. Honestly, this is why they stay at home playing video games all the time, because they can't get a woman. I'm serious. You know, what women, even leftist women, find to be masculine, it isn't the pajama boys. What women, including leftist women, find attractive in men, if they don't hate men, isn't pajama boys. So they're not getting much either. Just saying. Just putting it out there. I'm probably going to get in trouble for that one. But in any case, here's some on the lighter, another lighter side of things. Let's protect the planet by not having sex. Well, I think the leftists are doing their part. Thankfully so, because it means the fewer leftists having sex, that means fewer leftist children are being born. Anti-aging breakthrough. Yes, there is an anti-aging breakthrough, evidently, according to express.co.uk. The aging process has been reversed in human cells for the very first time. Yes, this goes along with some reports I brought to you earlier this summer about the maximum age possibility of the human body. And some people have put it at maximum. Some scientists have put it at a maximum of 150 years. But now there are scientists that are biologists that are believing that it can be pushed far beyond that. And indeed, you know, if you are to take the Bible seriously, we know that there are a number of biblical characters, biblical people who live, you know, 300, 400, 500 years. And what was the oldest person, Methuselah, that ever lived, like 900 years old? So there is this evidently biblical historical precedent for longevity. Now, we don't know how long Adam and Eve lived, because we don't know how long they were in the Garden of Eden. That is never said. I don't think even in the discarded books that were cut out of the modern day Bible, don't mention how long they were there. But in any case, so we know that if they counted out the ages, and there are plenty of biblical characters. You know, Moses was like 90 years old when he had his first child. There is definite evidence for longevity, and we know that there are many humans that, and more of them are breaking the century mark. They haven't been able to seem to figure out exactly what it is that allows people to live so long, when the vast majority of people, the average age is somewhere between, depending on the country you live in, anywhere between 60 and 75. So that's a big difference. An extra 25, 30 years is huge. Really is. But they're saying that they've been able to reverse the aging process for the first time, meaning that if this is actually true and successful, at some point in time, it would be plausible for a human being, as long as they could get this age-reversing treatment, to, you know, theoretically live for as long as the planet's around. There is another report, Howard. Where did I see that? I had it somewhere. Speaking of human longevity, there's a theory that we would not be able to travel far into space because whatever makes us alive is connected to this planet. And the fear is from, and this is an extreme minority, that the fear is that we would not have an easy time surviving on Mars, not because of Mars' inhospitable climate, but simply because we would be disconnected from the Earth. So there's also that particular theory out there. I'm not saying I believe in that, because I don't. Especially considering that you have some of these same people that believe that human beings are not originally from this planet in the first place. But then you do have some people who believe in the ancient alien human experiment theory that think that we were biologically engineered for just this planet. So that may be. Not by aliens, but we may be just biologically engineered for this planet. I don't know. Maybe that'll prevent us from traveling the stars. Who knows? We'll just have to wait and see when we get there. But in any case, scientists have successfully reversed the process of aging in cells for the first time in a move which could help beat the likes of diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia. Because these are cells that deteriorate, and usually these are age-related types of diseases. Now, many people hope to reverse the process of aging in a bid to remain healthier and live longer, or ultimately, yes, live forever. And if you could constantly maintain your body age at 30 or 40, would you mind if you lived to be 200? If you had the body and mind of a 40-year-old? No, I don't know anybody would. So as the body ages, it loses its ability to control how genes are regulated, and they ultimately become more damaged until we ultimately die. A gene is activated by signals from inside or outside the cell to make a molecular message known as RNA. Now, the decision on which type of message is created by a group of around 300 proteins is known as splicing factors. However, as we get older, the amount of splicing factors the proteins are able to make steadily decreases. In other words, your cells just get tired and begin to wear out, and they don't reproduce properly. So evidently, this process is able to reverse that. The story doesn't tell exactly how they did it, but it can lead through to such breakthroughs of reversing or curing many degenerative diseases. It also may be a key to curing all kinds of cancer, including the currently inoperable or untreatable kind. Because again, your cells reproduce something that, or turns into something that it's not supposed to, which is part of the aging process. Your young cells turn into something that they're not supposed to be. They age out, get old, wrinkly, as it were. This also would mean that the cosmetic industry would be in trouble. Well, because if you can reverse your cells, that means your skin cells too. You wouldn't have wrinkles. You wouldn't get enlarged pores on your face. You wouldn't have saggy elephant skin on your body. Plastic surgeons in the cosmetic industry would be deemed obsolete. So all those people will have to find new professions. Just saying. not only could you potentially live forever, but you wouldn't have any wrinkles. Talk about not being able to gauge somebody's age. I mean, theoretically, you could make yourself, if you thought you looked your best when you were 15 years old, you could theoretically, through this process, make yourself look 15, I guess. You can go and get treatments and get a dial an age. It would take the process of carding much more seriously, wouldn't? People wouldn't believe it. Oh yeah, here it is, the year 2400, and you say you were born in 2100? Yeah, right. Uh huh. Don't doubt me on this, folks. This kind of stuff is probably going to happen. Look, if we can dream it, humankind, if we can dream it, eventually we'll be able to achieve it. Living forever, I don't know about that part. But a lot of other stuff, if we can dream it, we can achieve it. And we probably will achieve it, a lot of that stuff, before this century is out. Don't doubt me on this. Anyway, another thing not to doubt me on is that we're out of time for today, but not only for today, for the week. So we plan on being here back here on Monday, bright and early. So you should be too. Until then, have a fantastic weekend, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Rod Eccles. I'm out.